All right, let's dive in. Today we're looking at Chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, the one about Karma Yoga. For anyone just joining us, the Bhagavad Gita is like this ancient Indian text. It's, you know, almost like a guide to living a life that that really has meaning.
Yeah, you could think of it like a roadmap for navigating life's ups and downs. And Chapter 3, it's called the Yoga of Action. Well, that one dives into how we can find a sense of purpose and inner peace through the things we do and by, you know, finding some balance in our lives.
So it's not just about like, you know, sitting on a mountaintop meditating. It's like actually getting out there and doing stuff.
That's it. The Gita says that action, well, it's inevitable. It's kind of, you know, we're wired to do things. Even when you think you're sitting still, you're breathing, your heart's beating, your body's working, even choosing not to do something. Well, that's still an action.
So it's not about avoiding action altogether. It's more about choosing the right actions.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we even know what the right ones are in the first place?
Right. Good question. And that's where this concept of nishkama karma comes in. You know, it's a big part of karma yoga, and it means to act, to do things without being attached to the outcome. You put all your energy into doing the best you can, but you kind of let go of needing to control the results.
Okay. So let's say I'm working on like a big project at work.
Hmm.
So instead of stressing about whether my boss will love it or, you know, I'll get a promotion, I focus on doing a really great job just because, you know, that's what's important.
That's the idea. It's about shifting your focus from, you know, from what you'll get out of it to how you can contribute, how you can use your talents to give back. Just think about how often we get all caught up in what might happen. Detaching from those expectations, well, that frees you up to be more present, more focused on the task at hand.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, if I'm not so worried about, you know, what might happen, then I can probably actually do a better job in the moment.
That reminds me of when I was you know, learning to play guitar. When I was just focused on having fun and just getting better, I made so much more progress than when I was like, you know, worried about playing perfectly for others.
And what's so interesting here is that this idea of letting go of attachment, it connects to another key idea in the Bhagavad Gita. It's called yajna.
Oh, yajna. Right. Yeah. Remind me, what's that all about again?
Yajna is, well, it's about offering our actions to something bigger than ourselves, a sense of service and sacrifice.
Well,
it's recognizing that we're all interconnected, and what we do, well, it has an impact, a ripple effect on the world around us.
So it's not just about, like, personal gain. It's about how we fit into the bigger picture, right?
Yeah.
But how do we connect that to daily life, you know? It sounds a bit abstract. I get it. It can be hard to wrap your head around. Think about it this way, you know. Let's say you're a teacher. Now, if you focus only on, you know, just getting through the day, checking off the lesson plan, achieving good test scores, then, well, teaching might feel like just a job, a transaction. But if you see it as contributing to the growth and well-being of your students, you know, even inspiring a love of learning, then it becomes an act of service, an offering, a yajna, you know.
Yeah, okay, that helps me understand it better. So
yeah.
even something like teaching, that can be a yajna. If you approach it with the right intention.
Exactly. And the beauty of this is that it can elevate even the things we might consider mundane, like everyday chores. You know, imagine cleaning your home. You could see it as a chore, something to get through, or you could reframe it as an act of creating a peaceful space, a harmonious space for yourself or, you know, for the people you live with. It's about infusing even the simplest actions with a sense of purpose.
So even the, you know, little things, the things we do every day, they can become more meaningful. If we have this, you know, this shift in mindset, I'm starting to see how powerful these ideas really are. But before we get, you know, too carried away with all this.
So welcome back to our deep dive into karma yoga. Last time we were talking about choosing our actions wisely and acting without getting, you know, too attached to the results. Bit of a mind shift, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely making me think about, you know, how I approach a lot of things in my life. And then there's that idea of yajna, like how even just everyday actions can become, you know, almost like sacred if we dedicate them to something bigger than ourselves. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like finding that that deeper meaning that's woven into the fabric of our daily lives. But the Bhagavad Gita, well, it doesn't stop there. It also emphasizes the importance of discipline and self-control, you know, on this path of karma yoga.
Well, discipline, right? Yeah, not always the most fun word. But I'm guessing it's pretty important here. What's the Gita's, you know, what's its take on discipline?
The Gita says that true freedom, it doesn't come from, you know, indulging every whim. It comes from mastering, you know, our senses and our desires, our minds. I mean, they're incredibly powerful, but they can easily pull us in a million directions if we're not, you know, if we don't have a good hold on the reins.
Oh, tell me about it. Between, you know, work deadlines and social media and just life in general. It feels like I'm constantly bombarded with, you know, distractions, things pulling me in different directions.
Yeah, that's it. It's like trying to meditate in the middle of a hurricane. Without discipline, we become reactive, you know, just bouncing from one thing to the next and never fully present or really in control of, you know, where our attention's going. But the Gita's wisdom, it helps us to find that inner stillness, even in the midst of all the, you know, all the chaos.
Okay, so how do we actually cultivate that kind of discipline? It sounds like a pretty tall order.
Well, it doesn't have to be about, you know, becoming some kind of ascetic monk, renouncing the world or anything like that. The Gita is not advocating for that. It's about finding a healthy balance, setting boundaries, you know, that allow us to direct our energy to the things that really matter.
Okay, so what does that look like in practice? Like, give me some concrete examples, you know, the things that people can actually try.
Sure. Let's start with your relationship with technology. You know, think about how often you check your phone, even when you're, you know, trying to focus on work or having a conversation with someone. Could you set some boundaries there? Maybe create some phone-free zones in your day or designate specific times for checking messages.
Okay, yeah, I see where you're going with that. It's about taking back control of my, you know, of my attention, not letting the pings and notifications, you know, dictate my every move. It's funny because when I think about it, those little distractions, they don't actually bring me that much joy anyway. It's like I'm on autopilot half the time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's so powerful about discipline. It frees us from that autopilot mode and it allows us to make conscious choices about where we're directing our energy and our attention.
But it's not just about, taming the tech beast, mm-hmm. right? This whole discipline mm-hmm. idea, it applies to other areas of life too.
Absolutely. It applies across the board. Think about time management. You know, are you constantly running from one commitment to the next, feeling overwhelmed and exhausted?
Ugh, yes. I'm definitely guilty of, you know, of overcommitting sometimes. I want to do it all, but then I end up feeling like I'm, you know, stretched way too thin.
And that's where, discipline can be a real game changer. It's about learning to say no gracefully and setting realistic limits for yourself and prioritizing what truly matters.
I'm starting to realize this all. It ties back to that idea of detachment, you know, that we were talking about earlier. It's not about denying ourselves joy or becoming, you know, totally rigid and inflexible, but it's about choosing our pleasures wisely. You know, and not letting them control us.
That's a great point. And it brings us right back to karma yoga and the idea of aligning our actions with our higher purpose. You see, when we cultivate discipline and self-control, we create the space to really understand what that purpose is and to act in ways that are aligned with it.
Okay. So I'm with you so far, but I imagine some of our, you know, some of our listeners might be thinking this all sounds great in theory. But, how do I actually apply this, you know, to my own life? It can feel a little overwhelming sometimes to connect these, you know, these ancient ideas to our modern world.
You're absolutely right. It's one thing to grasp these concepts intellectually, but it's another to actually make them practical and put them into action. And that's actually what we'll be exploring next. Some tangible takeaways from the Bhagavad Gita that you can start using right away.
All right. I'm definitely ready for those actionable insights. Stay tuned, listeners. We're about to get really practical with this, you know, ancient wisdom. All right. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been spending some time with karma yoga. And, you know, it's not just about what you do. It's about, like the mindset behind it, the intentions, right?
Exactly. It's about finding that harmony. between action and intention. We've talked about letting go of, being attached to outcomes and dedicating our actions to something bigger, something beyond just ourselves, and cultivating that discipline to stay focused, to stay on track. But there's one more piece of the karma yoga puzzle I think we should look at. It's the spiritual dimension.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now we're getting to the good stuff. What does the Bhagavad Gita actually say about the spiritual side of all of this?
It says that true happiness, true fulfillment, that really deep sense of inner peace. Well, it doesn't come from, achievements or possessions or anything outside of ourselves. It comes from within.
Yeah.
It's not about chasing happiness, but about cultivating it from the inside out.
So it's not about getting that promotion or buying that fancy car. It's something deeper, something more internal.
That's it. It's about recognizing that real lasting joy. It comes from connecting with something bigger than ourselves, something beyond, those fleeting pleasures that the material world offers. It's about aligning our actions with our values and living in a way that feels authentic, that feels meaningful to us.
This reminds me of Yajna, actually, that idea of dedicating our actions to something greater than ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that connected to this, spiritual growth that the Gita talks about?
Of course. When we dedicate our actions to a higher purpose, to something beyond our own, selfish desires, whether it's serving others, pursuing knowledge, contributing to a cause we believe in, well, we tap into this deeper wellspring of meaning and purpose. It's like aligning ourselves with a greater flow of energy and wisdom,
So it's not just about the actions themselves, but the energy and intention behind them. It's like we're giving them a sense of sacredness. But, for someone like me who's constantly on the go and plugged into the digital world, finding that inner stillness can feel pretty challenging. Any tips for how to actually cultivate this inner contentment in the midst of, all the chaos of daily life?
Well, remember, it's a journey, not a destination. It doesn't require you to, completely overhaul your life. Start with some simple practices. Mindfulness, gratitude, self-reflection. Take some time to quiet the mind, to appreciate the good things in your life, to really understand your own, your own thoughts and motivations. Because even just 5 minutes of, meditation or journaling could make a difference.
Absolutely. Those small, consistent steps, they can create a, really profound shift in your overall well-being. It's like hitting the pause button on all the chaos of, of daily life and giving yourself permission to just be, and from that place of stillness, that's where you can begin to cultivate those qualities like gratitude, compassion, acceptance, all the things that contribute to that lasting inner contentment that the Gita talks about.
Wow, this deep dive into karma yoga has been incredibly insightful. We've covered so much, but I feel like we've only just scratched the surface. What's one final takeaway that you want to leave our listeners with?
Just remember the principles of karma yoga. These aren't they're not just some ancient wisdom. They're practical tools for living a more fulfilling life right here, right now. And even, even small steps in the right direction, they can make a big difference. Start with one action today, an act of kindness, a moment of, mindful awareness, a conscious effort to just let go of, needing a certain outcome and just notice how it impacts your perspective.
Yeah. It's a beautiful reminder that we have the power, we have the choice to decide how we respond to life's challenges,
Yeah.
And by aligning our actions with our values, with what's important to us, well, we can create ripples of positive change.
Yeah.
In ourselves and in the world around us. So thanks for joining us on this deep dive into karma yoga. We hope it's inspired you to find more purpose and meaning in your own journey. And until next time, keep exploring, keep seeking, and keep diving deep.